All right, so, this is Angie. And he really wants to play with me.
Yeah.
Who is this?
This is Gigi. He's 8 months old and he's an American Indian dog.
So, I'm going to have to ask you to speak as loud as
okay.
Because you probably don't want to.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so you have to kind of pretend.
What is an American Indian dog?
Well, the Carolina dog, it's like an old breed like that.
Is he a reservation dog?
Well, they were they were an extinct breed, but somebody decided to recreate them. So they're really just mutts, probably. But they try to keep us close to the dogs that were with the Native American tribes.
So did you get one from a person recreating it, or did you get it from a shelter and just think it's a...
No, it was a breeder.
It's a breeder for
American
Indian.
There's not many. There's like
so. Essentially, it's a supposedly kind of a generic type Indian dog that they're trying to make into a breed.
Yeah, it's a breed now, apparently.
Well, anything's a breed.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm a breed.
Yeah.
Have you done his DNA?
No.
It'd be fascinating.
Yeah. There's a guy who has another one of the brothers. He's going to do it. So I've just been waiting for him because it's like $100. So.
Yeah. So why not have him do it? Yeah. Okay. So, and he's 8 months old?
Yeah.
How big do they normally get? Or is there a normal?
It's because it's such a gamble with what they actually are. The range that I was reading was 55 to 120 pounds. Which is any dog, pretty much.
Yeah.
And he's 85 pounds at 8 months old, so I'm sure he'll reach the high range.
What made you decide on an American Indian dog?
Because I'm a dog walker, and I wanted to study more of like a more wild breed, is what I imagined.
The more primitive breed you wanted to check out.
My other dog's a healer, and she's, they're from dingoes.
So you need to talk with you've had a lot of.
Yeah.
So your other dog was a healer?
She is.
I mean, a healer or a?
A blue healer, yeah.
Yeah, okay. And blue healers are bred with dingoes. That's how they got healers. Healers are, Australian healers are dingo, bull terrier, Dalmatian, German Shepherd. I think German Shepherd. I'm not absolutely sure about the Shepherd.
It's a rough haired collie.
Rough-haired collie?
Yeah,
it could be. Yeah. So you can let him go if
he
wants.
He just wants to see us. He loves other dogs. Ah! He's scared of people.
She doesn't want him. He thinks that's really fun.
Yes.
Come on then. Let him come away. Leave her alone. She doesn't want to play. Oh.
No,
he says I'm 8 months old. Okay, so what kind of behavior problems do you have with him?
The main thing is the fear of people. He's just
so what happens with people? He's been very good here.
Mm-hmm. Yesterday on Friday I did 2 hours of hikes. Yesterday we were at the river all day, which was super overwhelming. All the people, kids.
Where is it?
We went to the Russian River.
Uh-huh.
And he just sat in the back and watched everybody pretty much.
Uh-huh.
Just keep your distance. And so he's probably tired today.
He's tired because he
mentally
mentally exhausted.
Yeah.
So what does he normally do when he sees people? Just wants to avoid them?
Yeah. Right behind me, run away.
And so what have you been doing to try to help him?
Trying to do a command like go see people.
Okay.
And if people are willing to give him treats, he loves food.
Okay. And what happens after they give him a treat? Does he then want to be with them? He backs away.
Yeah.
Okay. So you said that you really wanted to get a primitive breed,
mm-hmm.
and you've got a primitive breed.
Yeah.
You better start accepting the fact that you have a primitive breed.
And if that shyness is just inherent, then that's what it is.
Yeah. It probably is.
Oh my gosh.
Don't worry about it. This is a playroom with dogs, so it shouldn't be cleaned up. So he started to lift his leg already, huh? When did he start that?
Well, we walk in groups of dogs, so I think he learned from the other boys.
It's an instinct.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, and is he neutered yet?
No.
Yeah, that's it. Normally it happens at about, but most times it happens between 10 and 12 months.
Uh-huh.
So he's early.
Yeah.
He's, but that could be something having to do with the breeding and whatnot as well. Mm-hmm. So he has, does he have people he likes?
Yeah, he likes me and he likes my boyfriend and I think that's pretty much it.
And other people he just kind of takes and can take him or leave him?
And he'll, if I have friends over, he just goes to his crate and he sits, he stays there.
So the friends that you have, that come, do you have friends that come over fairly often?
Not often.
Okay.
But like now, for instance, I have my friend and her two kids and it's just a miserable experience for the dogs.
They're there with you?
They were visiting for the weekend, and the, my dogs were just in their crates the whole time.
Okay, so you have other dogs, right?
Yeah, I got Patsy, the healer.
Talk louder.
The healer.
Okay, you got the healer, and then, and so what is, their relationship is really good,
yeah.
I assume.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and is the healer a social dog?
Yes.
So your healer would like to meet people?
Yeah.
What's his name again?
Gigi.
Gigi. Yeah, that's your name. So Gigi does not want to meet, but how old is the healer?
She's 3.5.
Okay. So you're, and you live in the Russian River area?
No, no, I live in Oakland.
Oh, but you were up in the Russian River just for the for vacation.
Yesterday.
Okay. In Oakland, does he walk where there's lots of other people?
Not often. That's part of the problem. It's my job. They go 2 hours a day out into the hills of Oakland and we hike and we don't really see people. We see like other dog walkers and he's comfortable with that because there's a big group of dogs and smells.
And the people are almost your immaterial.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So what do you intend your life to be like in 2 or 3 years, you know? Are you happy being a dog walker?
Yeah. I would like to stay in the field any way I can. Like if I venture on doing training on the side and dog walking.
But you kind of like this whole...
I love it.
And you like going for walks?
Yes.
In the wild and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah.
So you're kind of planning on continuing to do that?
Yeah.
So, well, there's something that's really important here that... And I don't know how I can emphasize how very important it is. Socialization, this is not for you, this is for everybody. Socialization for a dog, particularly a dog that's got some fear issues or shy issues or whatever, should be if you can look into the future as to what you want your life to be like in the future, particularly if you have a life that you kind of like right now, and you socialize the dog to the life that you plan on having, right? That is more important than almost anything else. One of the things that happens with Ian Dunbar is he had this big thing about they have to meet 100 people. They have to do this. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. One of my old bosses.
Yeah. So they have to do this and they have to do that. That depends entirely. If I told you, you know, so how many of you consider yourself introverts? Right? So that's a lot of people, introverts, right? If I told you you have to go meet 100 people every week, how would you feel about it? I'm just not going to do it. You're happy with the people that you know well, and in areas that you feel comfortable, but you don't want to go out into the world and meet people. So Ian is an extrovert, by the way. He's extremely extroverted, and a lot of people who are extroverted think everybody who's an introvert is an extrovert in disguise. And anybody here an extrovert, a real cut? My daughter's a total extrovert. She's like, hi, how are you? Everything's fine, blah, blah, you know, and I'm like, you know, because I'm not, and there's no reason for me to be. And of course, dogs are also introverts or extroverts, and it's quite likely that your healer is extroverted.
Yeah, she loves, she'll go up to people, tail wagging.
But he's not, he's introverted. So when you're thinking about socialization, think about A, who the dog is, what they need to be acceptable in society. In other words, you can't have a dog that goes up and growls at people or something like that. And then you socialize them in their comfort zone. So And this is relevant to you. So when you send him out of his comfort zone to get a treat from somebody, you're actually going backwards. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? It's like one of us extroverts having to meet people, being told we have to meet somebody. Okay, I want you to do direct eye contact and shake their hand.
Yeah.
And you're like, I don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. And so what you start doing is you will begin to actually become more secluded or reclusive because you don't want someone to tell you what to do with regard to your personal life. And that's what we do with a dog. We send them in and say, take a treat from somebody. They want the treat, so they take the treat, but then they go, I've got to back up. And they back up further. And if it's a person who's relatively clueless and gives the dog a treat and then tries to hand their hand over the dog's head, then he's going to duck his head. And in some cases, like the dog that I showed at the very beginning of class, the Flo, I don't know if you were here, she's a dog from Guatemala. What she'll do is actually start growling. Mm-hmm. And then what happens with most people, unfortunately, is after she's growling, people will go, well, you have a mean dog.
Yeah, actually that happened yesterday.
Did it?
He doesn't growl, he does this like little bark. When
did he do it?
There's a kid just like crawling through the bushes for some reason. There's always a kid near us. And we're just like, we're trying to like keep our dogs over here. And he said, your dog's aggressive. I was like, I'm scared of you. I'm scared.
You're aggressive. Okay, I'm scared of you. No, I'm scared of you. Yeah, no, he was being fine.
Yeah.
But he's pretty comfortable right now, and he's been very comfortable out back there. I think who knows for sure, but I think he's probably gotten a sense of each person, and he's been analyzing it for the last couple hours, and so he's like, okay, I think I know who you might be. None of you people are going out of your way to try to touch me. I think I'm doing really well here.
Yeah.
And so he can relax. Mm-hmm. So
he fell asleep and everything. I was like, I thought for sure he'd be awake the whole time.
Did you?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I think he seems like a normal introverted dog.
Mm-hmm.
And if it were me, I would certainly want him to think people are nice.
Yeah.
But instead of having somebody give him a treat, mm-hmm. when you see somebody and you're walking past and it would be somebody that you wanted to give them to give him a treat, you give him a treat.
Yeah.
And don't let him go. He shouldn't go unless he wants to explore them and they're willing to stand still.
Yeah.
Then he shouldn't have to. And if you do that, then because he's still a really youngster, at this age, what will happen is he'll get more and more comfortable with people because they will not have provided a threat for them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, he just seems like a really nice dog.
Yeah.
I'll take him.
As long as people don't touch him.
Yeah, as long as they don't touch him. So there are things that you can do if you've got a fearful dog. He does not give the impression of being fearful until probably he gets pretty close.
Yeah.
So that's a problem. And he's got those ice blue eyes.
Yeah.
And that's the thing with Flo, the dog from the beginning, is she's got ice blue eyes and people think it's stunningly gorgeous. Or they're scared of it.
Yeah.
One of the two. And so they always want to touch the dog, you know. Because we're monkeys, and we want to touch things all the time. We're going to brave, put our hand out and touch them, and the dogs don't really want that. So you can get a little harness that says "Dog in training, do not touch."
Yeah.
And that's a nice thing to do for some dogs. I have one client who has a leash that is bright red with orange lettering down it that says, "You know, stay back."
Mm-hmm.
You can try putting a scarf on the dog, but that doesn't do any good.
Yeah.
And for dog aggressive dogs, you're supposed to put a yellow scarf on them if the dog aggressive, but the only people who know about that are people with dog aggressive dogs.
Yeah.
So it actually doesn't do much good at all. But the tape sometimes does. I would say that what I would be doing, what you may already be doing, is using, what's your conversion?
Patsy.
Patsy?
Yeah.
Patsy and Gigi.
Yeah.
What Patsy could, you could use Patsy. So was, I had, at one point, I had Strider, my German Shepherd, Luke, who's still around, on, and two Aussies, okay? Mm-hmm. So we would go for a walk on, in open space, and Luke is not a good dog with dogs. He is reactive to dogs, not this problem, just a totally different problem. So what would happen is that as I'm walking, if somebody's walking with their other dog, mm-hmm. on or off leash, I'd send Strider ahead. And then Strider would get to the point where we'd be going, "Hi there, how are you? Don't pay any attention to that dog." And then we could scooch away with Luke while Strider is doing his, you know, social Bing Crosby act.
Yeah.
Which is kind of what he did. And it worked really well. So, you know, and I do the same thing with Flocka and Aspen. Aspen is social. Mm-hmm. Flocka is not social. So Aspen and Heather at this point now will both go up and meet people while Flocka stands back.
Yeah.
And that works out really well. So you could actually encourage Patsy to go ahead and greet somebody while you stand back with him. And it will help him in another way too, because if he sees that Patsy is enjoying himself and getting treats, he might actually start thinking, "Oh, these people aren't that bad at all."
Yeah.
I still don't like having other people give my dog treats, period. Because I think that it always backfires in some way or another. It backfires like it did with Flocka, who now thinks that my old boss, Diane, is a better person than I am, and she'll go with her anywhere on a PSR a day, and she disappeared. And then I hear her way down the path, I hear somebody going, "Flocka!" So, you know. So I just don't like it, but certainly you giving him treats would be perfectly fine. So you're passing somebody and you just say, "Oh, that's a good boy, Gigi," and you put a treat in his mouth and just keep on going.
And let Patsy go great.
Yeah, and let Patsy do her thing. Mm-hmm. And you could also say, you know, you can say all kinds of stuff to people. You can say, you know, "He's a little sick," you know, or something like that, and sometimes that helps too. You are a puppy. He looks so adult.
Yeah. He just turned 8 months. Just turned.
His chest is going to pop. His head is going to pop.
He still has big paws.
Yeah. He may always think, "Oh, don't, you're looking at me." You guys are looking at me. It always, you know, these dogs remind me of children. Who get behind their mothers, and the mom's going, "Say hello, you know, say hello," and the kid is like, "I just can't do it," and that's kind of what they do. And these dogs remind me. Now there are some other things you can do. You can actually teach the dog to do a behavior, like to touch your hand when people are going by, so that among other things, it's gonna hide those gorgeous blue eyes. You know, to do a touch. Or to do a sit or something else, so that you're telling him, "I got this. You know, I got. It's under my control."
Yeah.
So tell him to sit now.
Gigi, sit.
And what normally happens when you tell a dog to sit is that they go, "Somebody told me what to do, and I need to know what to do." And so when he starts to get agitated like that, that's a little bit of a thing.
He loves feet. He's a good obsessed.
He's a pretty boy. Any questions, comments, or whatever? Yeah.
Will he let anyone else leash him, or just nobody touch him?
I've never tried.
But then what happens if you have to be away or something, and someone needs to come take him for a walk? Do you have to work on
it? I've thought about that, seeing if one of my dog walker friends can come in and leash him. I don't really know if they could.
They might not be able to. He might have a real problem with it.
Yeah.
So
is that something she'd want to teach? Does somebody else can handle him enough that you don't have to run or right, whatever?
I would leave him with people like my boyfriend would watch him, or my friend,
right,
who has been with them pretty much. She's always been around. So I guess he does like three people.
Yeah, he likes three people. Yeah, I actually think a slow and steady, you know, increase in the number of people that he starts to trust would be really good. Mm-hmm. It's just strangers. He doesn't need to know. He doesn't trust strangers. But if you could do that, that'd be good. Now, you can teach a dog to what he uses an easy walk, right?
Yeah.
An easy walk harness. Does he have, this is actually a good idea for him. There's a cue you can give, which is kind of, we just say get dressed.
Mm-hmm.
So if I say to my dogs, get dressed, they shove their heads in their harnesses. Because that's, you know, that's what get dressed is. And so you could, when you put his harness on every morning, you could give him a cue like that, and then hold the harness, and he'll teach him to shove his head through it. You give him a treat right here to do that. So that the cue is get dressed, and that becomes the action that is associated with the cue.
Mm-hmm.
And then you put it on him. And the other thing that's really good with shy dogs, and again, I don't know if you can do this or not, is if you have him get dressed, and then you have like a block. So he puts his front feet up on a block.
Oh, yeah.
And that is actually teaching a trick.
Yeah.
But tricks are really good for teaching to teach dogs, don't worry, we've got it under control.
Mm-hmm.
So you would teach it get dressed so that the dog could actually watch something go over their head from a strange person. That's really horrible.
Yeah.
And then put their paws up here so you could actually snap underneath because you have to do both.
Yeah.
So I would, you know, those would be fun things to teach him.
Yeah.
And it, again, all of our dogs do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they just all shove their heads and, okay, get dressed, okay, here we go. Whether it's a collar or a harness, they're used to that kind of thing.
Maybe have other people that like him do it.
Yeah, so you might do it three times and have them do it once, and then you do it a fourth time or fifth time, and then be done.
Yeah.
You don't want to do it over and over and over again, because one of the things that happens, and this is my own very personal experience, so I don't know if this is true of other trainers, but what I've noticed is that when I start working with a dog, they're fine at first, an introverted dog. They're fine at first, and then the more I work with them, the more they start to pull back. So, and I think that has to do with they only have a certain amount of available energy for me. They have more for their owners. So now I have a tendency to work very briefly with the dog, give them a little rest, have the owner work with the dog. Then I might do it again once or twice, but I no longer, if it's a shy dog, I no longer keep trying to work with the dog, even though they're good in the beginning. I'll tend to back off before they start backing off. Anybody else see anything remotely like that? Dog walkers or whatever? No? And maybe it's my own experience, maybe I'm just a jerk, I have no idea.
I don't know if this applies, but my little Chihuahua Minpin, who's a rescue, will accept, she's been afraid of men. And so she's getting more accustomed to men, so she's will take a treat and then back off and bark.
Yes. See, that's the thing about having other people give your dogs treats.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's very much like, you know, I'm scared, so there's a piece of something, maybe a $100 bill right up there, right? But I really want it, but I am afraid of that area for whatever reason. Maybe there's a boogeyman behind that, I don't know. So I'm gonna do that to get it, and I'm gonna reach as far as I can, I'm gonna do that to get it, and I'm gonna grab it, and I'm gonna pull it back like that, really fast. So that's what the dogs have a tendency to do. They'll take a treat, and then they move back. And then, because he already, or she, already got inside that really uncomfortable bubble that she was in, she goes bark, bark to say, I want you to stay away.
Yeah. Yeah. I had a feeling it was something like
that. So that's the thing, that people watch dogs do that, and do this whole thing where they're trying to, or like your dog in the video, with the right around the piece of equipment. They're like, okay, my back legs are gonna stay as far away as possible while my nose gets as close as I can. And then as soon as they get a little whiff, they back up a little bit, and then they go back over and they do the same thing again. And he does that with people. He goes up, does a sniff, and then he's not, but there you can see it. Then he backs up again. And so that's the behavior that you're getting. And that's why what you're doing by having another person give the dog a treat is you're overloading her stress. You're overloading her with stress. She can't handle the stress. So you should give her a treat. Say, see the guy?
In the presence of the other person.
Yeah, see the guy? Have a treat. See the guy? Have a treat. Okay? So it becomes an associative thing rather than a social episode that the dog can't handle.
have to explain it to all the people.
Huh?
I have to explain it to the people.
You can't. I mean, I spend a lot of time I would spend a lot of time with Flocka saying, you know, I'm sorry, she just doesn't like people. It's not your fault.
Yeah.
You didn't do it. It's not even her fault. It's nobody's fault. She doesn't want to investigate. She doesn't want to involve herself with people that she doesn't love. And so, but everybody expects dogs to be friendly to everybody, and they're not. And the more rescue dogs we have, the less it's going to happen. Because they're not all Goldens and Labs, or Golden Doodles, or Labradoodles. Are they?
He's just trying.
So what you can have them do, if you really want to, is something like this. You know, so they say hi, and you go, have that. Oh, there's a good dog. So that's perfectly fine. Because what'll happen then is he'll eat it, and then he'll go, huh, I came from that person. Not bad. I still don't do it, by the way, because I still don't like having other people go down the street. But particularly if you have a friend who's a guy, this treat retreat is really good.
But what did you call the treat retreat?
It's treat retreat. Uh-huh. It allows the dog to go away from you to get the treat and then to come back to you to investigate. So see how he's getting closer now?
Yeah,
because he goes, oh, you have cheese, and then I'm going to do that. Then he gets to go far away again.
That's like the contingent reinforcement?
Mm-hmm.
Non-contingent, sorry.
Pardon?
It's like the non-contingent reinforcement.
It's not exactly like non-contingent reinforcement because you're, well, yes it is, I suppose, because it has nothing to do with anything except for you're trying to... They're getting the treat for living. Yeah.
Could you call it bribery?
Almost everything having to do with treats is bribery, you know, until it turns into a reward.
Yeah, well,
you know,
those of us who have jobs are being bribed too then.
Oh, that's right, because we get paid.
Yeah.
And those of us who don't have jobs are no longer getting paid. You know? Are you ready? This is a good game. So Treat Retreat is a fun game. Ooh. Oh boy, that was very clever. You ready for another one? And there's no pressure. There's no stress on the dog. Whoops, there is over there. Oh boy, now it's fun, huh? Are you ready? Here it goes. Look at that one. Oh, too far. Okay. But he'll get it eventually. One of the big problems with teaching this is that people are so chintzy. They throw a treat and they want the dog to get that treat. I'm like, it doesn't matter. This is cheese. This is not $50 bills. So if they miss one, another dog will get it.
Yeah.
There you go. Oh boy. All right, here we go. Let's see how good your aim is.
Terrible.
Let's try it again. Okay. Almost. So that's the other one that I use is catch. Get your cards further back. Good. Ready? Catch. Yeah. Good boy! So what happens with catch is that they learn to do eye contact. So again, these would be games that I would play with my relatives or friends, not strangers. Because they want eye contact from the dog, but the dog doesn't want to give them eye contact. So what you do is you just teach the dog to go that way again.
Before he eats, I do tell him to look.
Yeah, it's different. That's you.
Yeah.
Like you love him.
Yeah.
He loves you. Eye contact then is like this.
Yeah. Sure, I'll look too.
Ready? And catch.
So when you do that, is the other person throwing the treat or are you throwing the treat?
The other person throwing the treat. Again, these are friends, right? These are people that you have a little bit of time to actually make a relationship happen. So if you have guests over and you have a dog like this, then having the guests play treat retreat teaches the dog that life is good.
Okay.
Just throw it for me. We're all really good aims here. You said boy. That's a good boy. The biggest issue is that after a while with doing treat retreat, they want to pet the dog. And So I had this client once who had a client who had a Chesapeake Bay Retriever. And the Chessie was a, he was a shy Chessie, which is not normal. Chesapeake Bay Retrievers are usually very, very strong-willed dogs. They can be very tough dogs, and they take special owners. But he was a shy Chessie. And so he, one day, the guy was taking classes at the Marine Humane Society. So one day, he was in his office. The guy was an attorney. He was in his office. He used to take his dog to his office with him. And a custodian didn't know that he was in his office and crashed open the door. Just, he was doing something, just opened the door really, really fast. And the dog spooked the dog, and the dog bit him on his hand. So the dog was then put into quarantine, which is a 10-day thing. If your dog bites, they have to go into quarantine. If the dog is reported, and they're going into quarantine because of rabies. And it's not for any other reason. It's just because there's, even though they get a rabies shot, that is not proven to actually stop the dog from getting rabies. If you have a wolf hybrid, by the way, the dog is destroyed. Because rabies, it has, there is no proof that rabies works on hybrids. There is no proof it doesn't either. They just never tested it. So, on that. But anyway, that's what the state says. So he went to, and what he decided to do, he didn't come see me or anything. What he decided to do was to do the quarantine down at his mother's house in Southern California. Is this okay that I'm giving you trees? Okay. I'm asking a little late. So anyway, so he sent him down. It's actually a funny story because he sent him down to Southern California to stay with his mom. And then they hired, after the 10-day quarantine was up, they hired a dog trainer. And the dog trainer was a dog trainer to the stars. This was in LA, so he had a lot of clients that were famous and all that kind of stuff. And the guy came in and worked with the dog, he said, for like half an hour, charged him like $600 and said, you gotta euthanize this dog, he's vicious. He's just a vicious dog, and he's gonna hurt somebody, he's gonna bite somebody really badly. So they sent him away, they paid the money. And then the guy said, by the way, you know, I'll sell you a dog for $10,000. So, you know, there was that too. And then they got another trainer, and the other trainer met them at a dog park and walked around the dog park with the dog and said the dog was fine. And of course, the problem wasn't other dogs, the problem was people. Mm-hmm. And because the dog was shy and it had this issue. So then he brought him back up to the Humane Society, and he thought, and by the way, by this time he'd spent like $20,000 on trying to fix this dog. And so he came in for a consult, $95. And he's telling me the problem, and I said, so I said, the real problem is that when people come in the house, because he was fine outside. And he said, yeah, when people come in the house, now he thinks that people are scary and he wants to bite them. And I said, well, and the whole time in this consult, the dog is, I have a whole bunch of tennis balls in my office, and the dog is picking up a tennis ball and chomping at it, and then picking up another one and chomping at it, and then having two and three in his mouth and chomping at it, because he's a retriever. And that's what he does. So he's making these, you know, all these, picks up all these balls. And I said, well, how about we try this? We're gonna have people, and we did it in the office. I said, and if we opened the door to the office while I was in the office, he would bark and lunge. So it was definitely an open door thing. He was really, really specific about the things that he got scared at. So what we had is we had a series of trainers and volunteers and whatnot open the door. I had piled about five or six balls outside my office. They would open the door, throw the ball to the dog. The dog would go chasing at the ball, and then they would come in. So it's like, period, period, right? Mm-hmm. And then the dog would bring the ball back to them and say, throw the ball again. So he made instant friends with about 10 people within about, 20 minutes. It was like zoom, zoom, zoom. And so So we thought, this is the best behavior modification. So I sent the guy home with this behavior mod. And then I called him up. I was doing a talk at APDT, and I thought, I better check with this guy to make sure that this behavior mod actually worked. Because if it didn't, I want to know. So I called him up, and I said, you know, how does it work, and how's the dog doing? And he said, oh, it's terrible. I said, oh, really? Oh, my God, I'm so sorry. And he said, oh, we have just wet balls all over the house. Because He had a, his daughter had a whole bunch of boyfriends apparently, and the dog really didn't like men. But now the dog was thinking that guys were just, you know, ball throwing machines, and that's what they were. And it worked really well. Really well. So using a toy for something like this is a good thing too.
So they had a big stack of balls.
And a big stack of balls, right? And they had a sign that said, "When you walk in, throw the ball," and it did it. And I'm sure they, you know, they don't know. I'm sure he's long gone now by now, but it worked. So you know, this long distance stuff that you can do to help dogs, it's oftentimes while you are taking care not to intrude into their personal space, but you're still giving them nice feelings about other people. That's
yeah,
really good.
Like that, the guest over, sit on the couch and
treat. And Charles Street, just do this trick or treat. And then after a while, he's gonna come over and go, "Okay, Mom, where are they gonna do this?
Yeah.
Are they gonna do this now because I really like this game?" But then they do have to be, at least for the time being, they have to be very careful about not petting.
Mm-hmm.
Because
it'll send them back.
What he'll do is he'll do this thing and then he won't go near them again.
Yeah.
So this is what you say probably is at least at the beginning of his behavior modification.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what we're doing right now.
Yeah.
And if you don't follow my rules, you can't come over to my house and I won't give you any wine.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
That makes sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And just appreciate him for who he is.
He is who he is. He actually has the behavior profile of a dog exactly what
got.
Thank you.
Yeah.
he's somewhat retiring,
mm-hmm.
cautious, suspicious, very friendly to those he loves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And other dogs, he's really pack mentality too. It's interesting.
Well, of course.
I've never had a dog that's just
he's
like a
looking
two
at
dogs
me like now, like I know they're an orange treat.
Are
you
an orange treat?
You know, bribery is a really good thing. Yeah, it really is.
And he loves the outdoor hikes. Like he's just a
wild
dog.
Really, yeah. I mean he's probably one of the most fit dogs.
Yeah.
Does he hunt?
Yes. Lizards, bugs, he chases butterflies, everything. Birds, he will be looking in the air.
Heather loves pelicans. They're dead, you know, because of the way they swoop down, she wants to go get a pelican.
He hasn't caught anything yet.
Just wait.
I'm sure it'll be
yeah.
a butterfly. At some
just
point.
Wait. Okay. Any other questions for Angie or anything? Any comments? No? Yeah.
What about you were at the river with lots of kids?
Mm-hmm.
To me, that would be, I would be scared of my wits.
Yeah.
So to have a lot of little kids running around here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, what I recommend for people is usually to put the dog in a crate at the beach.
Yeah.
You know, you go when you're going for a walk, it's fine because you can continue to walk and you can avoid other people or whatever. But if you're settling down, that was one of the things about Flo, the first dog. They went to the beach, and anybody who came by, she's like, you know. And again, she'd turn her head away. She has no intention of fighting. But she would if you actually tried to get too close or you touched her. So, I think that in this case you need to bring a pen or a crate with you if you're going to go to the beach because I think she's going to need to be protected. Or you can dig a hole and have her go in the hole, but you can't have her be sitting out there for people to go, "Isn't she a gorgeous dog and can I come pet her?"
He would have been happy about a crate yesterday.
He would have been happy in a crate,
yeah.
You know, there are things where people really feel like they have the right to, they have the right to do stuff. They feel like they have a right to touch your dog. They feel like they have a right to hold on to your baby, which is ridiculous. When you have a baby, people are always coming up, "Oh, you know," and they want to touch your baby. And they also want to do the same thing if you're pregnant. "Oh, no, you may not touch my body." Yeah. But they really do. They really are intrusive about certain things. Which is, you know, it's just our monkey behavior. It's what we do.
Even the leash that you said that has the warnings on them, those leashes.
Yeah.
I know one woman who I see walking her dog with that, and I will look at her and I'll go, "Gosh, you don't know how much I want to pay for that." And she's like, "Oh, you don't know how many people see that warning on the leash and go, 'Oh no, my dogs love me.'" And she bites every time.
Yeah.
I'm like, "Oh yeah, well, I'm not
that stupid."
That,
so if the dog bites every time, it should be on a muzzle.
Yeah.
And if the dog is on a muzzle, no one will come close.
Yeah.
No. They'll do, that's a, and that's what's funny, because the dog on a muzzle is safe.
Yeah.
The dog isn't going to bite, although it's a fine thing to do. You know, the other things you can use, which I think are really, you can use like the cones, the cone of shame. That's a really good way to have other people avoid your dog, because they won't go near it because they think it's in pain. And also the outfox.
Yeah.
You know, the black thing, because people think that looks weird. But I don't want to touch dogs that look like that. You know, you see them where's the park you
use? Point Isabel.
Point Isabel, all the time.
Yeah. Is that the black mesh?
It's a black mesh thing.
And they can still use the ball in the outfox.
They can actually get the ball in their mouths. Yeah, because yeah, it goes like this.
Is there a muscle they can get the ball with?
There's only one that I know of, and it's not a very good one, so not really. But they can with the black thing on. And by the way, the reason it's black, just to let you know, because I'm like, well, why aren't they making tan or something? Because you can't see through tan. You can see through black. There's a reason why screens are black. Because our vision compensates for it, and you can see through it. But if it's creamy colored or white or another color, then those colors hit our vision first and you can't see through it properly, and that's why they're black.
I've seen a woman with like 6 or 7 dogs on her green number, and they all have that on them. She says that they're not good at greeting.
Well, other dogs probably aren't as good at greeting them, because I know when my dogs see a dog like that, they go, what the hell is that?
My dogs with me were like, whatever, they wanted to.
Well, it could be that the woman, her dog just isn't good at greeting anyway, because I can't imagine that it's going to impede a dog that already knows how to greet. I mean, maybe it does, but I can't imagine how it would. Yeah?
Is there a way to train to a muzzle a proper way?
Well, you usually desensitize to a muzzle, so that would mean that you'd get a good muzzle. The best muzzle is called a Bumas.
What is it called?
Bumas, B-U-M-A-S. And it is, you have to send your dog's measurements. It's very colorful. It's like very
customized.
Huh? It's totally customized. You can have it so that you can give treats, you can have, you know, and it's very narrow rubberized plastic, and so it's very soft, and it is made in Europe. But there is a Bumas in San Francisco.
Yeah, they came to us and wanted us to do it
via retailer.
And I'm like, I don't want my employees measuring, because then that means that we're measuring dogs.
Yeah, they have to have the clients do it.
And I'm like, that wasn't what they wanted.
They had me as a retailer, and I'm like, I don't do that, no. Yeah. But I'm happy to, because I like the muzzles. I think the muzzles are the best muzzles on the market. But they are really expensive.
Yeah, Jeffries, they volunteered to go and measure aggressive dogs' muzzles.
Sorry.
I got their card and I recommend it all the time, but yeah. I'm not going to have those dogs come in and fish.
No, you can't. It's like, you know, when you're putting a sensation harness or an easy walk, you're putting yourself at risk when you put your arms around the dog. Every time you do that, you're risking yourself.
And they tell you, oh, they're really
fun. I know. Yeah. I had one where it was a pit bull, and I'm fitting the sensation harness, and I'm like this, and the dog's here, and it goes, and I'm like, okay, this was nice. And then she goes, oh, she does that. Which was almost as good as when I was dealing with a small dog, and I said, what are you here for? And she says, well, she's kind of grumpy sometimes. And I'm like, she's grumpy? What do you mean by that? And she says, well, just sometimes she doesn't behave well. Now, I'm on the floor with this dog, and who is behaving in a very friendly fashion and everything, and all of a sudden she chomps on my arm and just hangs on like this. And she says, that's what she does! Get your dog off my arm.
She's grumpy.
Honest to God, people.
Yeah. People are idiots.
People are idiots. Well, when it comes to their dogs, they certainly are. I would hate being a teacher in a school. I can imagine what they're like with their children. You know. Yeah. Although, I don't know, I think maybe dogs is worse. Because I think we anthropomorphize dogs. So we're always thinking that we know what they're thinking. you know, I have a couple clients who do this. Well, she's thinking this right now. And I'm like, how do you know that? You know, we don't even know what other people are thinking, much less what dogs are thinking. I mean, it's one thing. There have been times when I know that I've been a little bit psychic with dogs. There have been about 3 times that I actually am pretty sure that I got the dog and I had a connection. But most of the time, it doesn't, you know. I remember once I was in the office and somebody was doing something to the dog. I think they were doing this, you know, petting. And I said, she does not like that, don't do that. I'm like, ooh. Oh dear, I'm sorry. I don't think your dog like that. And she, as soon as she took her hand off, the dog was like completely gone. So it's great. All right, thank you very much.
Thank you.